Hey there, welcome back to 7 Minute Books. I'm Sam, and today we're diving into Hugo Young's This Blessed Plot, Britain and Europe from Churchill to Blair. Sophie, you and I both read this recently. What struck you most about it?
Hey there, Sam. Honestly, it was the title for me. This Blessed Plot is from Shakespeare's Richard II, and Young uses it ironically. It's about England, not Europe. This idea of a sceptered isle that was forged in glorious isolation. And the tragedy is that Britain's success made it almost impossible to accept a diminished role in a shared European project.
Right. And Young's central argument is that Britain's problem with Europe isn't really economic or even political. It's cultural and psychological. He says the British elite just couldn't imagine a world where their island wasn't the center of the universe.
Exactly. And that's why the book starts after World War II, not in the 1970s. The founding fathers of Europe, Monet, Schumann, Adenauer, they were driven by a vision to make war between France and Germany unthinkable. But Britain stood aloof because it had just won a war. It saw itself as a victorious global power, not a defeated nation needing rescue.
Yeah. The British establishment believed in this idea of three circles, the Commonwealth, the Atlantic alliance with the US, and then a vague secondary relationship with Europe. Europe was a place to trade with, not to belong to. And Young shows how that mindset persisted even as the empire crumbled.
The Suez Crisis in 1956 was a brutal awakening. It exposed Britain's dependence on American goodwill and the hollowness of its imperial pretensions. But even then, the political class clung to the illusion of a special relationship with the US and a Commonwealth trading system.
So they watched the European Economic Community form in 1957 and initially dismissed it. But as the Six prospered and Britain's economy lagged, the mood started to shift. Young captures these agonizing internal debates within both the Conservative and Labor parties. Europe wasn't a strategic choice, it was a tribal battleground.
And the key players are fascinating. Harold Macmillan finally applied for membership in 1961, not out of conviction, but out of a desperate sense of declining power. And then Charles de Gaulle vetoed it, twice. Young's analysis of de Gaulle is brilliant. He saw Britain as an American Trojan horse, and he was right.
The great turning point was Edward Heath. He was the only post-war prime minister who was a true believer in Europe. He got Britain in 1973, but the terms were deeply unfavorable, and then the oil crisis and the three-day week poisoned the atmosphere. Heath's vision was swamped by economic chaos.
Then comes the 1975 referendum, which Young calls a cynical exercise in party management. Harold Wilson had no European convictions. He just wanted to keep his party from tearing itself apart. The campaign was lopsided, the debate was shallow, and the deep-seated ambivalence was never addressed. The result was a hollow victory.
And then Margaret Thatcher. Young shows a more complex picture than the Euroskeptic warrior we remember. She actually signed the Single European Act, which massively expanded majority voting and community law. She did it because she believed in the single market.
Right, but the problem was that the single market was never just an economic project. It was the motor for deeper political integration. And Thatcher had this visceral hatred of the European project's collectivist tendencies. Her Bruges speech in 1988 was a declaration of war on the entire logic of the community she had helped strengthen.
So she wanted the economic benefits without the political cost. Young calls that the fundamental contradiction of British policy, and it's never been resolved. The book culminates in the Maastricht Treaty and the battles of John Major's government, a complete disaster for Britain.
Major secured opt-outs from the single currency and the social chapter. But those were defensive victories. The treaty deepened the political union Britain had always opposed. And the ratification process in the House of Commons was a political bloodbath that destroyed Major's authority.
Throughout the book, Young keeps coming back to this failure of leadership. No British leader, except maybe Heath, ever made a sustained, honest case for Europe. They treated it as a technical issue, trade and diplomacy, rather than a grand political project. They were afraid to tell the public the truth, that membership meant a loss of sovereignty.
Instead, they sold it as a pragmatic deal to boost trade and keep the Americans happy. And when the project evolved into something more, the public felt betrayed. The ever closer union was always in the treaties, but British leaders chose to ignore it.
Young's prose is elegant and filled with quiet anger at these missed opportunities. He acknowledges the EU's flaws, bureaucracy, democratic deficit, but he says those are problems to fix from within. The real failure was a failure of imagination.
The book was published in 1998, long before the Brexit referendum. And reading it now, it feels eerily prescient. All the seeds are there. The deep ambivalence, the failure of leadership, the myth of sovereignty, the belief in a global destiny separate from Europe.
It's a diagnosis of a national pathology. The blessed plot of England was a powerful myth, but it was also a prison. It prevented the British from seeing that the world had changed, that the only way to have influence was to be at the heart of the new Europe.
And by always holding back, by always demanding special treatment, Britain ensured it would never have the influence it craved. Young calls it a self-inflicted wound. The one thing I'm taking away is that leadership matters, and the absence of honest, courageous leadership on Europe has had devastating consequences.
Totally. And if you want to go deeper into Young's argument or explore other histories, the whole library's over at 7minutebooks.com/app. It's got over 6,000 fiction and nonfiction titles you can read or listen to in any language. And it starts at $2.99 a month, $9.99 a year, or $19.99 for lifetime access.
A nation that could never decide what it wanted to be, condemned to perpetual conflict. That's the tragedy of this blessed plot. We'll see you in the next one.